All right, everybody, welcome into the Fifth Dimension podcast. For today's show, I was joined by the one and only Max Egan. And really, this is a phenomenal conversation. There's a lot to unpack within this hour as you're listening. Come in with an open heart and open mind and let yourself come to your own conclusions. I'm not the final source of authority, neither is Max, and both of us encourage you to do your own research. But really, we dive in to the current state of Israel. I just recently watched the movie Occupied, which Max was featured in, so it was fresh on the mind. We had the podcast even scheduled before I saw that film. So a lot of it, this conversation stems from a lot of the talking points within that film and really looking at the history of both Judaism, Zionism, the political infrastructure of current modern day Israel, and really the deception that has taken place to indoctrinate a lot of people into certain ideologies and principles, what they think is Judaism or modern day Israel. So, as I said, come in with an open heart, open mind, and take in this information as you will. There's a lot to unpack on this subject, and we're really just scraping the surface with a lot of these talking points. So, if you're a fan of the show, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you are on. We'll see how long this one lasts on YouTube, be on Rumble as well, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. It's greatly appreciated. You can subscribe to my Substack, mcdermod.substack.com, mcdermod.substack.com. You also purchase a copy of my latest poetry book, The Final Judgment, is available now. And be sure to book a one-on-one tarot reading with me if you are interested. It could be a great gift for the holidays for somebody as well, where we unpack whatever it is that you want to internally look at and really self-reflect. We can do it live on Zoom or in a written tarot report if you don't want to hop on a call as well. Links to do that are in the episode show notes below. And special thank you to our official sponsor, Tranquil Desires, here in Chamberlain, South Dakota. One-stop shop for all your holistic wellness and spiritual needs. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump into the podcast with Max Egan. Enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome into the Fifth Dimension podcast. For today's show, I am joined by the one and only Max Egan. Max, it's truly a pleasure to be able to connect, and thank you for taking the time to come on the show.
My pleasure, brother. Thanks for asking me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I was kind of saying before, there's so many areas where I feel like we align in our research and in what we explore. But what's fresh on my mind is I actually just watched the Occupied film just the other day, and I know you were in that one, and it's been an area that that line of research I feel is really coming to the forefront right now, especially kind of where we're at collectively. So I feel like that might be a good place to start. When we're looking at Israel, there's so many ways to dive into the subject, but there was a quote that you made in that really stood out to me, and I think this could be a good starting point. Is a lot of times when we're focusing specifically on Israel and we're pointing the finger at Israel, pointing the finger at Netanyahu, and kind of looking at what's going on over there, you mentioned that the focus on Israel won't actually heal the problem, and really where we need to look at is our own governments. Right. Like I'm in the United States, for example, and it's very clear who the allegiance our government has to. Right. So I was wondering if you could dive into that on the way in Israel has been able to sort of I'll use the word occupy, as the movie implies, occupy foreign governments and sort of expand its sphere of influence in the modern context.
Well, Israel occupies all governments. Israel occupies the entire world, unfortunately. And it dawned on me years ago that that's where the problem comes from. Israel is essentially a welfare state. I mean, sure, since they were set up in 1948, they've developed their own industries, mainly arms exportation and weapons exportation. Interesting that that's what it would be. All sorts of exotic weapons, and they've used Gaza to test all these weapons, of course, and now they sell these weapons as battle tested. And it dawned on me long ago that this only happens because our politicians funded them. I mean, the United States funds Israel to the tune of trillions. Something like $7 million a week or something goes to Israel. It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it's absurd. And you look at the dilapidated state of the United States, you look at the struggling economies all around the West, and they can still send billions and billions of dollars to Israel. It's crazy. And Israel is using this to carry out genocide. Meanwhile, it's occupying all of our governments. It's affecting all worldwide foreign policy. Every war that's been fought on Earth in the last 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, probably longer, has been one of Israel's wars. All the wars the United States have waged since the 9/11 attacks have all been attacking Israel's enemies for Israel. So, who benefited from the 9/11 attacks? Who staged them? Even a couple of days ago, we saw a mosque or a synagogue firebombed in Melbourne, Australia. Of course, nobody was hurt. A couple of people with minor burns. If it was a real terror attack, they would have firebombed the place when it was full of Jews, but they didn't. They did it after hours when it was empty, just Jew hatred. Israel has a record, a history of staging these type of events. I mean, about 10 to 15 years ago, there was a Jewish neighborhood in the UK was asking for more security guards, and the British government wouldn't give them to them. So they attacked their own neighborhood and firebombed their own neighborhood, and then Britain supplied them with all these security guards. And it came out 4 or 5 years later that Israel staged the attack themselves. They do this all the time when they're losing support around the world. They've been screaming out for the government to stop allowing these what they call pro-Hamas protests in Australia, where they aren't pro-Hamas, they're simply anti-genocide. But they paint it because they control the media, so the media paints all these things as pro-Hamas. The media is incredibly biased. And if you look at the heads of media all around the world, again, it's all Jewish people run all of this stuff. So they control the flow of information, and they control our governments. And if our governments don't step in line, then they stage attacks against themselves in order to bring people into line. The Mossad motto, by way of deception, we shall do war. So that's where the problem lies. If we were to kick all dual citizens out of our government, and it doesn't matter if they're dual Israeli citizens, I mean, dual Chinese citizens, dual whatever citizens. If you've got a dual citizen in your government, then who do you expect their first allegiance to be? Will it be with your country and your government, or will it be in their country of birth? Okay. And that's what's going on. I mean, Israel controls all world foreign policy, basically. And, people will say that, oh, we've got to defend Israel. It's our only ally in the Middle East. Well, they don't sort of point out that before Israel was formed, we didn't have any enemies in the Middle East either. So, and they claim Israel, we've got to support it because it's the only democracy in the Middle East. It's not actually a democracy. A democracy has a constitution which enshrines basic individual rights to all of its citizens. Israel doesn't have a constitution. It has a set of arbitrary rules that are decided upon by politicians, because if they had a constitution that enshrined human rights within its documentation, they would have to give those same rights to the Palestinian people, but they don't. It's an apartheid state. They claim it's not apartheid. It's not an apartheid state, but we've got this huge wall around Gaza, and we've got checkpoints all through West Bank, but it's not apartheid. And we're not carrying out genocide, but we intend to settle Gaza after the war, and we want to rename West Bank to, what is it, Samaria and Judea. It's genocide, clearly, but they're relabeling it as other things. And again, it's all supported by Western politicians. You're not going to heal Israel by screaming at Netanyahu and screaming at politicians at the Israeli government. You've got to pull funding from them. You've got to basically put sanctions on the state, stop buying weapons from them, stop sending weapons to them, stop giving them handouts. It's a thriving economy. It doesn't need to get millions of dollars a week from the United States. And the United States is falling into rack and ruin. All the countries that are supporting it are falling into rack and ruin. Also, the claim that it's the only Jewish state in the world, and so we need to, protect it. Why can't the Jews have their own state? Well, for a start, it's a religion. No religions have their own states. Now, but this was the birthplace of Judaism. Well, if you want to look at it that way, Jerusalem was also the birthplace of Islam. It was the birthplace of Christianity. So why don't they get a claim to it? Why is it just the Jews? And it's not a race, it's a faith. The original Judahites or Yehudi or Israelites of the Bible have nothing to do with the people who now currently live in the place, have occupied the place. And the original Israelites were Moroccans and Egyptians and They were Turkish, they were Mongolian, they were all sorts of people. It wasn't a race. It was people who had this belief in the one true God, belief in the teachings of the man called Israel. They were Israelites, not because they lived in a state called Israel, but because they followed the doctrines of the man called Israel. And even when Jesus was born, if he even existed, I mean, I know this is a debatable point with a lot of people, but even if, let's say he did, let's say he was born there, he was preaching the same doctrine as the Israelites, as the man Israel, and he was born in the state called Judea, which existed within Palestine. And so they were called Judahites or Judean or Yehudi. And the whole concept that it's Judea is where the Jews come from. The word Jew never existed in the original Bible. It was inserted by King James. And the word Gentiles never existed either. It was nations. So essentially, it was people who, the Israelites and the Yehudi, were people who followed the doctrine of the one true God. And the other people were those who followed the law of the nations, the law of the state. But King James changed that to, he combined all the Yehudi, Judahite, Israelites, all these terms, he combined them into one word, Jews, which kind of ethnicitized it, gave it an ethnicity, and he changed nations to Gentiles. And when you look at that, you know, like an Israelite or a Yehudi was someone who followed the law of the one true God rather than the law of the state, which is basically what Jesus was saying. You know, he was an anarchist. He was saying, forget the state, forget the churches, forget all that shit. You have your own divine connection to God. You know, and when you look at that, it's those who follow that doctrine of belief in the one true God, or those who follow the laws of the state with the nations, they change that to Gentiles, and then the Jews form the state of Israel, which is an exact opposite of what the word Israel actually means. It's against the state. You know, so it's been a complete mind fuck that's happened with people over the years, and it's been a deliberate thing. But it's the main source of instability in the world today is the state of Israel, the fact that it exists. And like I said, their claim that it's the only Jewish state in the world, well, in 1929, when they were fleeing Russia because of the whole Bolshevik thing, they got kicked out. There was a state formed in eastern Russia called Jewish Autonomous Oblast, which they actually twice the size of the state of Israel, and that was formed for the Jewish people. So why don't they go and live there? Why do they need this place in Palestine? You know, because they believe they can claim they've got an ancestral connection to it because of Judeans and you know Judea, and they say that's where the Jews come from, and you know it's a complete misconception. The whole thing has been contrived. I'm actually going to release a video about it, a very, very short video. In the next couple of days, just trying to explain this to people. I wrote an article on it recently and posted on X and posted it on my website to try to help people understand how this subtle misdirection has taken place. But people who claim, like Christians out there, who claim they need to support the state of Israel and who claim that modern day Jews have any connection to the biblical Israelites, it's tantamount to blasphemy. Blasphemy to even make those claims. You know, they just haven't done their due diligence. And even if you want to get into it, Jesus even said in the Bible, you know, you people are of the devil, you're liars like your father. He said, you the Jews who claim they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, blah blah blah. And this thing they claim is the Star of David, which is actually the Star of Renfan. You know, it's a huge, massive deception. So yeah, it's incredibly important, and that would solve all the problems in all of our governments and all of our economies all around the world. We could actually have autonomy if people got the dual citizens out of their government. And again, not just Israeli dual citizens, but any dual citizens. You know, but the fact that Israeli dual citizens are replete throughout the government, like in even in Biden's White House, there's like something like 461 people or something. Somewhere around there, I might have that number wrong. People employed in the White House, 300, over 300, 320 of them were all Jews. What are they doing there? What is every minister, every governor, every politician in the United States? Why do they have an AIPAC handler? You know, what's all this about? It's foreign control. I mean, the United States is essentially a vassal state of Israel at this stage, and the United States is the biggest arms producer in the world, and that's what Israel uses to fight its wars. And all of these wars have been fought for Israel and are all about the creation of greater Israel, and while they're crying victim through the whole thing. So yeah, it's a massively important issue.
Right. And where would you say the origins of this actually stem from? I mean, there's a few different talking points that I hear kind of thrown around, right? You hear about the creation of Zionism in 1897 by Herzl, right? You hear about historically Jews being thrown out of, I think it's 109 countries over the last 2,000 years, right? For the same, I guess, ideologies and practices that are in today's state of Israel, all right? So what would you say the origin of this sort of manifestation of modern day Israel actually stems from? Like, is there a concrete way we could pinpoint it and kind of look at the origins of it to better understand it?
Well, I mean, it's all in their books, the Torah and all that sort of stuff. It basically the coming of their Messiah and all that sort of thing. They're taught this in the Torah. They're taught that they are God's chosen people. So even that was a flip around, because when you look at what an Israelite was and what a Yehudi was, it was those people who chose God over the state. And when they inserted the word Jew and Gentile, they were able to flip those who chose God into God's chosen people. This happened incidentally, like straight after, or a couple of decades after Oliver Cromwell was allowed back in England. And one's got to wonder if that was some influence of it. But a lot of it is in the Torah. I mean, even the talk of Khazars and stuff like that, perhaps that's who these people actually are, these kind of white-skinned European Jews who are non-Semitic Jews, like Benjamin Netanyahu, whose real name is Malachowski. And even Yolande Galant comes from Poland. Malachowski comes from Poland. There's other guys there from Romania. There's a defense minister. This woman comes from Georgia. There's another guy who's an Australian. There's another guy who's Irish. But they're all Jews, and they're all an ethnicity. How does this work? And I said, oh, no, we're not an ethnicity. Well, then if you're not an ethnicity, how are you claiming this state, as your origin? It doesn't make sense. None of what you say makes sense. But, the Khazars, if the Khazar story is true, which it likely is, then, when these people were kicked out of Khazaria by, I think it was Attila the Hun chased them out, might have been, I think, someone like that. I mean, I might have the name wrong, a bit vague. But they became the wandering tribes of Europe, the wandering Jews of Europe for many years, and they tried to find home everywhere. Like, they went into Russia. The problem, I mean, they've got this idea that they will only help Jews. They'll control the money system wherever they go. They'll start opening banks and things. They'll lend out money at interest, and via this interest, which is always incredibly high, they end up gaining control of the country. They end up gaining control of land, gaining control of finances, gaining control of real estate. And they attempt to undermine the country that they're in and basically take it over so that they've got a home, because they're sick of wandering around for the last 1500 years, And then they saw their opportunity to grab Palestine by this whole flip. And it goes back to, like, was 1611 or something, when King James put out his Bible and changed the word. So it's taken them like 400 years to get to this point where now they can claim they can, that we come from Palestine, we come from Judea. This is our heritage, this is our homeland. And there's been an occupation of our homeland, and we are a decolonization force, is what they say, which is complete opposite of what they are. I mean, they're colonizing Palestine and they have no claim to the land. But I mean, it's all in their Torah, it's all in the Kabbalah, it's all in these ridiculous religious teachings that they follow. And I think that's where the mindset comes from. And like, young Jews that have grown up in Israel seriously believe this to be true. They seriously believe they're God's chosen people. They seriously believe that they are decolonizing Israel. They're turning Palestine back into Israel, which is what it always should be, that Palestinians never existed. These are just Arabs that moved in and stole their land. They seriously believe it. So it's very difficult to hate them for what they think, because they're programmed into it. I mean, Israel, the Jews of Israel, are the most programmed and brainwashed people on the entire earth. And a lot of it is in their religious teachings. I mean, I reckon just send them all to Oblast, put them all in Oblast, build a big freaking wall around the place, and let them do their thing there, but get them out of all of our governments. It's this, half of them aren't even religious. They're not even religious. They say they're atheists, and yet they follow all this stuff in the Torah that tells them they're the chosen people. They don't believe that they don't believe in God, but they believe God gave them Palestine. How does this work? They believe that God chose them as the chosen people and all this sort of stuff. I mean, how does any of this work? It's all done through programming, and a lot of it comes from their religious books. But personally, I think all religion is demented. I mean, religion leads people away from God, irrespective of the faith. And this is another thing. Jesus, if he existed, I think was telling people, you all have this divine connection to God. You don't need to go to the temple. You don't need to pay money to these people. You don't need to follow the laws of the state. You all have a divine connection to God. And all you have to do is believe in that connection and exercise your right to be who you are, And all of these teachings have been lost. It's all been misconstrued. I think religion is one of the world's leading causes of death. I don't follow any religion at all. I think religion, like I said, leads people away from God, gets them to trust in the priesthood and the church and what's written in the book, rather than ever believing and discovering their own personal true connection to the divine.
I definitely agree with you. I have the same mindset and don't follow a particular religion because of that reason. And it was interesting that we just had Thanksgiving here in the United States, and we had a whole bunch of family get together. And there is a few people I got to talking with about politics and Israel and all of this. And then one of my aunts, who is a Catholic and goes to church every Sunday and is very she's very pro-Trump, all these things, but she got on Israel and she's like, yeah, it's great Trump is backing them because they are God's chosen people. Says it in the Bible, says this. And so, and to hear it, because I was kind of confused as to why is it that Christians are so emphatic on defending the Jews as God's chosen people. And it kind of seeing, hearing that kind of highlighted what you just said. There's almost a level, I think, of indoctrination that has taken place, even within Christianity, and a subversion of the true teachings that, okay, these people who are in Israel now, they are the original Israelites. They are God's chosen people. They are, and so I think there's a big misconception on who is the people even living in Israel right now. What is, and I don't think people realize that it is an occupation. And a colonization like you described, I think there's a lot of Christians in the world who genuinely believe God's, these are God's chosen people. This is, they have the God's divine right to this land, conduct
Because they
peace
have
and
a misconception of what the word Israel means. They don't realize that Israel was actually a man, and that an Israelite was someone who followed that same belief system. Anybody who believes in the one true God and gives their heart to that is an Israelite, is a Judahite, is a Yehudi. They don't have to be born in the Middle East to be that way. It's anybody who thinks that and feels that connection, that you're an Israelite. You are the true Jews, only that the word Jew doesn't really exist because there are no Jews. There were Yehudis, there were Judahites, there were Judeans. Judeans were those who were born in Judea, but it was those who followed the teachings of the man born in Judea, who was Jesus, who had the same doctrine as the man Israel. So when they say, when the Bible says we must defend Israel, you're saying we must defend belief in the one true God. It's got nothing to do with a block of land in the Middle East, which was stolen from Palestine, but they don't understand that. And the priests don't understand it. And a lot of these people don't do their due diligence. They go to church and they read the verse that the priest in the church tells them to read. How many Christians have actually read the Bible from cover to cover and read it and got the whole story of what this is all about? Really, when you read it, I mean, it's a book written by the Judahites, or written by the Jews, which is designed to exalt themselves. And it all changed when King James put out the Bible and inserted the word Jew and inserted the word Gentile. This has caused so many problems, and it has changed the entire doctrine that was printed in the Bible. You tell a Christian, they'll go, oh no, the King James Bible, that's the one. That is the one. That's the perfect translation. No, it's not. Why are you going to believe a book that was given to you by the king? Fuck the king. He thinks he's a king, so he's an idiot anyway. What gives him the right to rule over someone because of his bloodline? What, you think you're more important than everybody else because you were born by this guy? When you're an idiot and you're a psychopath and you're a liar and you're doing all these things, screw the king. What about our own personal connection to God? And that's the problem. See, the Christians don't know what the word Israel means. They think Israel means this country. Well, if the Bible's been there for 2,000 years or something, This country's only existed since 1948. You look at all the maps before then, and it's Palestine. It was Palestine, written as Palestine back in like 1400s. You get maps from there, and it's shown as Palestine. Israel was the Holy Land, where the mindset of Israel, connection to the one true God, the mindset of the man Israel, where that those preachings took place, where that ministry was taught. And that was the birthplace of Christianity, the birthplace of Judaism, and the birthplace of Islam as well. I mean, Jesus is highly revered in Islamic texts as well. He's the one that they're waiting to come back. I mean, there's so many similarities between Islam and Christianity, it's ridiculous. But no Christian will tell you that because they've never truly read the Bible and they've never truly read the Quran, you know? And it's a huge misdirection and a huge misconception. And if people could just understand what the word Israel actually means, then it would solve a lot of the problems. But you know, they're brainwashed. They're just you know, and a lot of them now, I mean, they're in their 40s and 50s and stuff, and you're trying to tell these people they've been wrong and they've been lied to, and they've been following a doctrine that's been basically preached by the devil their whole lives. They don't want to hear this. You know, so they just go straight into cognitive dissonance and say, no, you're wrong, you know. I went to see my priest yesterday and he told me, you know. They don't do their due diligence. They've never really read the book. And you know, when you can understand that's what the word Israel actually means, it's a belief system. It's not a block of land. It's not a geographical place. You know, the land of Israel, the holy lands, always existed within the lands of Palestine. There's even a great book written by a professor of history, who's a professor at Tel Aviv University by the name of Shlomo Sand, who wrote two books: one, The Invention of the Jewish People, because there are no Jewish people, and the invention of the land of Israel, from holy land to homeland. And he lays it all out in that book, how this whole thing's a scam, you know. So, and there wasn't even, he claims there wasn't even any Exodus when the Jews apparently left the big diaspora and they left Canaan and went into Europe. He says, no, these are just Ashkenazi Jews in Europe. These are the Khazars in Europe. The Jews never got expelled and none of that happened. He can find no history of any of that actually taking place. So it's just lie upon lie upon lie, and now they're playing their big game. And you know, because it says in their book as well, it says in the Torah that in the end times, before the coming of their Messiah, everyone will turn against Israel, everyone will hate Israel, you know. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the whole world to hate Israel. And even when Netanyahu got elected years ago, one of the rabbis come and said to him, you know, we need to hurry up the process. You know, we need to speed up the process for the return of the Messiah. You know, that's what Bibi's doing. Bibi seriously believes that he is the one who is going to hold, you know, hand the reins of control over to the new Jewish Messiah, who they believe will be enthroned around about 2027, so during Trump's tenure. And there's even someone that I know who's actually doing a lot of short videos for me at the moment, who's met Trump and met Ivana Trump, his first wife or second wife or whatever, the wife before the one he's got now. And he asked her back in 2015 when Trump was sort of thinking of campaigning for president. And he said, what's the story with Donald Trump? What's Donald's story? And Ivana said, he believes he's on a mission from God. So he's totally in there. He's totally programmed through the whole thing as well. You know, so yeah, it's a sordid state of affairs, brother. And I think we're almost, I mean, we're coming to the tipping point of everything. If people don't see what's going on, then the world's going to fall. And if you look at what these people have done when they've been in control, I mean, through Bolshevism, you know, through the gulags in Russia, you know, millions and millions of people killed, World War I, World War II. I mean, that's the problem, is they go into all of these countries, and as soon as they get in there, they undermine the country and they attempt to steal it for their own. You know, look what they did in Russia, look what they did to Germany. In 1933, Jews declared war on Germany. A lot of people don't know that, you know, and because Hitler had thrown out all foreign ownership in Germany, and he brought the whole country back. He'd given everybody a Volkswagen, he built the autobahns, he got the trains to run on time, for God's sake. You know, like it was the greatest economic recovery in world history. He was Man of the Year on Time magazine. Everybody loved him because of what he'd done. And then so the Jews said, well, we can't have this. I mean, we can't have Germany, you know, becoming autonomous again. So we need to destroy Germany. There was even a book that came out in 1933, the transfer agreement. They moved everybody down to Palestine. Just get out, leave us alone. And then even after that, there was a book that came out by a guy called Theodor Kaufmann in 1941 called Germany Must Perish. Where we said we've really got to take this country down. It's a sordid state of affairs, brother. But we're at a real tipping point at the moment. They're trying to kickstart this war with Iran, a lot of which is just a cover for the creation of Greater Israel. I said fucking 6, 7 months ago, once they've half done Palestine, you're going to see them starting a war with Lebanon. You're going to see them starting a war with Syria. Notice just a week or two ago, new Syrian rebels, Islamic rebels are coming in there to overthrow the government in Syria. I mean, these are all Jewish proxy agents, all of them. And just as the Arab world is uniting to try to stop Israel, what it's doing, well, what better way to disunite them than to send in an Arab terror group to undermine Syria? And ISIS, Israel's is running ISIS, 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 Israel's Secret Intelligence Services. One of the heads of ISIS is a guy called Simon Elliott, who they said his name was al-Baghdadi. He's actually Simon Elliott. He's a Mossad agent. There was another guy, Benjamin Efron, they caught. He's a Mossad agent. They had field hospital set up for them in Golan. They've never attacked Israel's pipeline. All ISIS has done is run around through the Middle East and the Levant, destroying Arab infrastructure and ancient Arab temples and anything that shows any connection to Islam. And yet they're supposed to be Islamic extremists. And meanwhile, through that whole area, there's a pipeline running oil down to Israel. They've never touched the pipeline. They've never attacked Israel. And they come in and they attack Syria right when they need them to. So they want to create Greater Israel. They want to take over the Ukraine area. What's going on in Ukraine is basically depopulating Ukraine. And now we got thousands upon thousands, 140,000 Jews have moved there in the last 12 months. They're not going and fighting in the military. They're kidnapping young Ukrainian men off the street to go and fight the war. Jews aren't fighting in any of the war. They're going there and they're buying up real estate. BlackRock is just buying up all the farmland in Ukraine. It's an integral part of China's One Belt, One Road trade route that they want to open as soon as possible as well, as is Gaza, because they want to put the new Ben Gurion Canal in, which will take funding away from Egypt and the Suez Canal. They want to control the whole area. They want to control that as well. They want to go into Egypt. And they've already been posturing, saying Egypt must have known about all of these tunnels in the Philadelphia corridor on the Gaza border. So Egypt is, we've got to go and give them a slap on the wrist as well. Because, of course, they want to take over Egypt, everything east of the Nile, they want to take over, which will be the Suez Canal and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing plan, and they're really putting it to the test now, and they're trying to bring it to fruition and get everything done by 2027. They fully want war in Europe, really raging by 2027, and war with Iran raging by 2027. And then this will usher in the return of their long-awaited Jewish Messiah,
Right. And all you got to do is look on the IDF's arm patch and it has the map of Greater Israel. So it's right in clear sight, the actual vision of what they're fighting for.
I tell you, they show you this and then claim they're not doing it. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. Bombing Gaza, turning into absolute rubble, destroying all the homes and claiming, oh, no, there's no genocide. The population is actually growing in Gaza. Oh my Lord,
It's unbelievable. It's pure deception in the finest point. And you mentioned the Bolsheviks, and I think it's important to bring them up too, because a lot of times I hear people compare the modern state of affairs and they'll throw around the word Nazi, right? But when I look at what Israel is doing and look at the actual way that they conduct themselves and the way they go into places like Gaza and the real pure brutality behind the IDF and the forces, the Mossad. Like, if anything, it reminds me more of the Bolsheviks in the ways that they would go in into certain villages. And, you hear about the stories of when the Nazis were moving into Russia, how the Russian people celebrated. They felt like they were liberated from the Bolsheviks. And, a lot of them fled back to Germany when they were on the retreat because they didn't want to live under the Stalin regime anymore, right? They viewed the Germans as the only possible chance of actual liberation and freedom. So the terror of the Bolsheviks, and it's interesting because in history we don't learn about Joseph Stalin. We don't learn about the brutality and the tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people who died at his hands, right? And I'd argue he's the most horrific dictator of the last century, if not all of history. But to me, it feels like
Yeah,
the
and he was our ally in World War II. And the fact that the people don't know about the Bolsheviks and they committed such an incredible, unprecedented level of slaughter, the fact that nobody knows about this is a great indication of who is actually in charge of the world today. Same people. They fled Russia, they went into Germany. They lasted, 30 years, 40 years in Germany. They got kicked out of there because they were undermining the country. The big book burnings and stuff they had in Germany was all pornography, all the LGBTQ stuff that we're seeing throughout the world today. This was all happening in Germany. Hitler got rid of all that. And so they went down to Palestine and said, please, please don't destroy our hope. And the Palestinians invited them in. Come stay here. It's all good. And now look what they've done to Palestine. And now they've infected the entire world. This is what they're going to do to the entire world. They just want to become the rulers. They firmly believe, like they've even trying to undermine the United Nations, which is a sham anyway. If there's going to be United Nations, it should be done a lot better than what it is. But they're saying, oh, the United Nations is an anti-Semitic organization. Amnesty International is now being labeled anti-Semitic. The ICJ is anti-Semitic. The ICC is anti-Semitic. Anybody speaking out against the war crimes we're carrying out is anti-Semitic. So we need to get rid of all these people and we'll form a new United Nations with Israel at the top. They want Jerusalem to be the world capital and they are running all the governments of the world because they have to, because we need to stamp out anti-Semitism, And Bolshevism is an integral part of it. I mean, that's what they tried to do in Germany. And there's absolutely no evidence of a Jewish Holocaust in Germany. That's the only Holocaust we hear about. We don't hear about Bolshevism. We don't hear about the amount of people who died in the gulags. We don't hear about any of the stuff that they did prior to that point. All we hear about is the Holocaust of Germans, which actually nobody had ever heard about until like 1972. Until they started producing films about it. There was no talk of any Holocaust when I was a kid. And now it's just at the forefront of everybody's minds. And there's film after film after film. And almost every week, somewhere in the world, you'll see the Holocaust mentioned in a newspaper, at least once a week, all around the world. And this has been going on for years. So they're really trying to paint themselves as the struggling underdog and the struggling victim. And what a miracle it is. Look what we've built in Israel just since 1948. They forget to tell you it's through all, US funding and US weaponry. And, they haven't actually done any of it. They've just stolen from people in order to do it. And yeah, it's who runs the world today. It's the same people. When you look at the horrors of Bolshevism and you look at what they've prepared to do in Gaza and look at the targeting of children and some of the horrendous stuff we've seen posted on X, or the torture and the brutality that's been meted out against the Palestinian people. As I've said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. We need to heal this situation. We need to see that it's coming for all of our countries. And America, I've often said, if you're going to destroy America, it's got to be destroyed from within, which is what they're basically doing. And Trump's closing all the borders now. He wants to bring in biometric scanning to keep the borders safe, of course. Wants to kick out all the Mexicans. Which is going to destroy a lot of the workforce. And people say, oh no, we've got our own workforce in America. Well, I don't know. I go to America a lot. I've been going there a lot for a long time. And I'll tell you, every motel I've ever stayed in, all the house cleaners, all the kitchen staff, all Mexican. You go to a lot of the smaller businesses where people are doing menial jobs, all Mexicans. You don't see a lot of Americans doing that. They're all Mexicans because these are low-paid menial jobs that people just don't want to do. And if they're going to kick all of those people out and then close the borders, they've just spent the last 4 years bombing food plants, setting fire to food plants, destroying farmland. Bill Gates is buying up farmland like it's going out of style. And America is trillions, like literally trillions, like $36 trillion in debt or something. Someone worked it out the other day. If you were to pay that debt off at a dollar a second, it'd take you 131,000 years to pay off the US debt. Okay? So forget it. America's not the most powerful nation on earth. It's the brokest nation on earth that's only functioning because of the credit that it gets from other people. And any money that it gets in, it's funneling out to Israel and Ukraine, laundering it all through there. You look at the streets of Philadelphia, the streets of San Francisco, and look at the streets of Tel Aviv. And it's not hard to see where this is going. And Donald Trump's going to be the one that ushers all of this in. Donald Trump, under the guise of protecting people and making America great again, there's signs, there's billboards in Tel Aviv that says, "Congratulations to President Trump, making Israel great again." So, I mean, he's the most Zionist president they've ever had. He's surrounded his whole cabinet now is hardcore right-wing Zionist warmongers, all of them. Even the new head of the FBI, some Indian guy. What the hell you put an Indian guy there as the head of the FBI? And the first thing he says is that Americans need to wake up and prioritize Israel. What about America? You don't see Israelis going to office and saying Israelis need to wake up and prioritize America. You don't see any of that, And if you look at Tel Aviv, it's a paradise, compared to the countries that it's bleeding dry. So yeah, that's how America's going to be brought down, and Trump's going to be the big savior that's doing it. And everyone thinks, Trump and Elon Musk and RFK, who totally backflipped on his whole vaccination stance. Oh, I'm not going to take your vaccines away, He's been speaking out against vaccines for years, but he totally supports Israel. He's not going to take your vaccines away. You've got Elon Musk going there saying we need democracies where people are democratically elected. Well, no one elected you, Elon. How are you suddenly appointed to a government position? What is it, the Department of Government Expense or something like that,
Yeah,
which
efficiency.
is Dogecoin. I mean, you can't make this shit up. And the first thing he says that we need to do is bring in a carbon tax. It's unreal. And Trump said this will be the last election you need to vote in. And Elon Musk also said this is the last election you'll need to vote in. Look at all the big dictatorships, Stalin, what happened in Russia, the Russian Revolution, Mao Zedong, the whole lot. All of these were popular uprising that followed color revolutions, like we've seen in the United States. We have Black Lives Matter and Antifa and LGBTQ and all this sort of stuff. Defund the police, all sorts of things like that, all the crap that happened in Seattle a couple of years ago. How many people are going to get in there and they'll see Trump as the struggling underdog to really trying to make things right? And he's desperately trying to secure the borders and he's desperate. There might be a lot of people who don't actually want to see another election, that want this guy to stay in power because the cult of Trump is very, very strong. So will we actually see another election in the United States? You've got to ask that question. Are we going to have the fabulous three up there, Trump and Elon Musk and RFK? How can we go wrong with these people of integrity who really care about America? No, they don't. It's a joke. And Elon Musk has totally set himself up to be the really cool billionaire savior guy, electric cars and robots, and telling us we've got a fear for the onset of AI. Meanwhile, he's funding AI and he's creating electric cars and all the stuff that he's doing. It's a joke, and he isn't democratically elected at all. And it's kind of very telling that both of them have said that this is the last time you're going to need to vote. We're going to fix the country. This is going to be a revolution. It's going to be the same as a revolution. This is going to be something that you haven't seen for 200 years happening in this country. So you gotta wonder where they're gonna take it,
Right, definitely. And it's very telling to see what their intentions are just based on some of the things they've even said, right? Trump said along the lines of when it came to Hamas supporters, yeah, we want to kick them all out of the country. And really, when you say Hamas supporter, what does that translate to? It's anybody who's against Israel. I mean, you're just going to lump in somebody, like you mentioned earlier, lumping in somebody who calls out genocide or war crimes. Oh, you're a Hamas supporter. You're anti-Semitic. Let's kick you out of the country or let's throw you in jail, whatever it may be, right? We already
Well, he
see.
even said that he thinks you need to bring back the death penalty for anti-Semitism, he said on a speech a couple of months ago.
I was going to say it's right in the open, and we're seeing the laws be put in place. And Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, who's supposed to be this freedom right wing, like, oh, he's a great governor. He was one of the first ones to sign into law anti-Semitism laws. Can't speak out about Israel. Can't speak. No Jewish hatred is what they would label it as. But so we're really already seeing the sort of the desecration of the civil liberties under the guise of freedom, and because that's what Trump's whole thing is, that's what Elon Musk's whole brand is, freedom on X. And there's there's really an inversion that's already taken place, and they're going to be the ones to instill definitely a technocratic, I would say, dystopia in a lot of ways, because Elon Musk is creating all the technologies for it, right? I mean,
Well, his father was one of the heads of technocracy, you know, and that party was actually outlawed back in the 20s or 30s or something. They were seen as doing, you know, nefarious things to undermine the government. And it was his parents, and look at everything he's doing. This is technocracy. The whole lot of it is technocracy, you know. And you know, they've flooded the country with illegal immigrants and things, so that Trump can say, "Well, we need border security. We need the border wall. We need biometric scanning. We need it on sea, on air, on land." He's already said this, and this is how he's going to save you and protect you and make America great again. He's turning it into a digital prison, into an electronic, you know, surveillance state. And if they're going to be throwing out anybody who's anti-genocide, well, this is a lot of people in the United States. There's a lot of people that support Palestine, far more than people would realize. You know, right around the world. I mean, you're just not hearing about it. Even when you look at some of the rallies and groups they have, there's a big pro-Israel rally in New York a couple of weeks ago, and nobody showed up. You know, maybe 2,000 people showed up. Not even that. You know, maybe 800 or 1,000 people showed up. You would question, this is probably about as many people as it took to organize the event. So really, you just had the organizers there, and nobody else showed up, and you got pro-Palestinian rallies, anti-genocide rallies all around the world. People are seeing the writing on the wall. And again, that's why you see Israel staging all these false flag attacks, like firebombing their own synagogues and all sorts of stuff like that, to portray them as the underdog. But very interesting times, brother. Very interesting times. But all Trump's got to do is, you know, show that he's struggling, that the deep state is trying to stop him getting his stuff through, his biometrics, and he's doing all this to save America. And you might find that the people don't want him to leave. Like, you know, you might find some form of light civil war even break out in the United States, in as much as maybe a state of civil defiance against people trying to stop Trump from helping America. Because the Trump cultists are like, these are fully brainwashed. And he's such a cool guy. And he's an actor. I mean, he's an actor. He's got a whole IMDb profile. He's been in so many reality TV shows and guest appearances in other shows. The guy's an actor, you know, and he does it quite well. He knows how to get out there and just act like he's one of the crew, one of the boys, you know, go and hang out with people and pat them on the shoulder and rah, 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 you know. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, you know. And you've got Elon Musk, the same thing, a real sort of big brother attitude that he's got. Yeah, my big buddy Elon, you know, he's going to look after me. And RFK, well, he comes from the Kennedy family, so JFK, so he's got to be good. He's got to be a good one. He's spoken out about, you know, vaccines all these times and all this sort of stuff. You know, he's going to be far better for the health system. So, you know, but all they got to do is portray the fact that, oh, we've been trying. We've really been trying to get this through, but we keep getting blocked by the Democrats. Now, well, we need to maybe get rid of the Democrats. Maybe we need a one-party system. Maybe we simply need, you know, because, gee, not all dictatorships have been bad. You know, have been benevolent dictatorships where people like King Solomon essentially was a dictator, wasn't he? You know, Muammar Gaddafi. Of course, he was painted as a terrorist and as a criminal, but he was a dictator, and they loved him, absolutely loved him. He did incredible things for Libya, which they destroyed and turned Libya into a failed state, because he wanted to break away from the US dollar. But there's been benevolent dictators in the world, in world history, people that were just so good that they didn't want them to leave. You know, look at Marcus Aurelius, for example, you know. So he could portray himself as being of that ilk, and people, you know, and show, look, I've been struggling for 4 years, just give me a little bit more time and I'll get all this through. And people will probably go with it, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, brother. It really is.
Well, I definitely agree with you, and I think the United States today really looks, and this goes for all Western nations, I would argue, it really looks like the Weimar Republic in Germany. You know, late 1920s, early 1930s. And I would say Trump has done a good job of capturing the emotional aspect of that. And, you know, the re why did the German people love Hitler? Because he connected with them. He was speaking to the issues. He was really trying to make Germany great again. You could argue that was what he was, a
Well, he
rise.
was. If you listen to all his speeches and stuff, I would argue that Hitler was a far better individual than Donald Trump is. And there was no Holocaust. So Hitler was actually a war hero in World War I. He was battle injured. He got out of the hospital, went back to the front. He really fought for the people. And if you listen to some of his speeches, which have all been translated into English now, you can listen to some of those rants he had. And he's basically saying, "Yeah, get rid of all this filth, get rid of all this pornography, make Germans for the German people, France for the French, and Japan for the Japanese." What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having national autonomy? We've got this race of people that have come in there, they've undermined our whole system, and they're stealing our whole country, which is what the Jews were doing in Germany. And everything he said was true. And everything that's happened in the United States is again exactly right. It is. It's like the Weimar Republic. And it's happening in all Western countries. And those that aren't capitulating, like Australia's been speaking out against the genocide and saying it's going to withdraw support from Israel. So, of course, you see a mosque firebombed because you're letting all these Hamas supporters run rampant in your country and you're a disgrace and blah, blah, blah. So, they're turning all of these countries. If you're not bleeding your country dry and sending everything to Israel to support their war of terror, then you're anti-Semitic and you're a traitor to your people. This is sort of what they're promoting. So, it's like the Weimar Republic and America. I mean, I've been going there for years, and to see how much it's dilapidated over the last 10, 15 years is shocking from an outsider looking in who just visits there periodically. Now, when you're in the United States and it's falling apart around you, you don't kind of notice, until you really think, gee, I think things looked a little bit better 10 or 15 years ago. But people don't think that, they just, it's a gradual process. It's like the frog in the boiling water, it's a gradual process. And they don't really notice it happening around them. But from an outsider's point of view, looking in, it's so stark and so obvious to me. It's been shocking to see. It's been really sad to see how far the United States has fallen just in the last 10 years.
Right. And I think a lot of people recognize that, but then they project that almost emotional, I would say, what Trump has captured in the people. They project the savior aspect onto him and say, oh, see, he's going to take care of us. He's going to
They
rebuild
think
our
the system
cities.
is real. They think the political system's real. They blame it on Obama and on Biden. It's their fault. They did it. Trump's going to come and save us. No, it's the same political system. It doesn't matter. It's a different side of the same coin. You already have a dictatorship. It just looks like a democracy. But you have a functional rotational dictatorship whereby you get the illusion of choice every 4 years. But it doesn't matter who you vote in. When you look at the big agenda, go back 50 years and look at where we're going. Stuff that I said in school, this is where we're heading. When I was in school 50 years ago, I was telling people this is where we are heading. And it doesn't matter who you vote in or who you vote out, the agenda never changes. They might bring in different laws on border control or different laws on abortion or different laws on privileges of whatever, but the overall agenda, the march towards totalitarianism, doesn't change. Doesn't matter who you vote in. So people waiting for the government to fix it and thinking that voting in another side of the coin is going to fix anything is ridiculous. America needs to reclaim its country. It needs to take it back, and this could be done through simple non-compliance, and it needs to happen right around the world. All these laws, all these fictitious laws, if you're a true Christian, if you're a true Israelite, and you're connected to the divine, then you follow God's law, which is do no harm. Don't follow the laws of the state. That's what makes you a Gentile. It's ridiculous. And this is, if you are a Christian and you believe in Jesus, this is what Jesus was trying to tell you. Do not abide by the laws of the state. Do not abide by, he overturned the tables of the money changers. He spoke out against the government, did it for his whole ministry, And I mean, it's pretty obvious to see, but the power lies with the people. If people stepped into their moral compass, do the right thing in all that you do, don't abide by any legislation which calls you to step outside your moral compass, we change the world in a day. But no one's prepared to do that. I just want to sit home and do what I'm doing and go to my mundane job and pay my taxes and do all this sort of shit. And if I vote for this guy, he's going to fix it for me. And meanwhile, Trump has surrounded himself with his Zionist cabinet, which is more pro-Israel than the freaking Israeli cabinet, So, yeah.
Right, definitely. And it feels to me like the The root of what you just described is to disconnect people from their own spiritual connection and divine knowing of God, right? It's very
That's
much
what
a
it's all about. That's what it's always been about, and instill a belief in authority in them. That's what school's all about. All about.
And coming from a I studied to get a teaching degree, and I've worked in schools and seen it firsthand how the method is to repress, indoctrinate, and create obedient lack of virtue, really virtuous to the state, virtuous to the authority, an assembly line of just really automatons, you could say. And
Yeah, Frank Zappa nailed it when he said that schools, modern schools, train people to be ignorant with style. You know, they don't give you the criteria to need you need to judge between good and bad or anything like that. They want you just smart enough to swallow what they feed you, or just dumb enough to swallow what they feed you, and just smart enough to do the paperwork, but never smart enough to think for yourselves. And that's what they do. And he also described government as being the entertainment division of the military industrial complex. And that's what it is, you know?
Right, definitely. Well, what would you say, like, when we're looking at this force, right, and we're seeing the amount of, I would call it illusionary power, right, because it only operates with our own acquiescence and our own consent and feeding into it. I mean, a lot of people are going to look at it and say, well, we're talking about the government, we're talking about the military, where they have guns, they have tanks, they have this, they have intelligence. See, I mean, we see the amount of whistleblowers over the years who have been assassinated, right? Or we just various operations to where the government exerts its power, right? And so when they see that, and maybe they even see what's going on, there's a level of fear of, well, I don't want that to be me. How can we possibly uproot this system when in itself it holds all of this military power, it holds all of this influence, it controls the media? Where would you like recommend people, I guess, find within themselves to get to have the courage to actually stand up to it? And what does standing up even look like when they have that, the perceived, I would say, the upper hand in terms of the military intelligence and the.
Well, people are scared of death. People are scared of, they don't realize what this is all about. You know, they're prepared to give away a little bit more of their soul every time they comply with wrong behavior, every time they comply with the law, which they know is wrong. They give away a little bit more of their soul. You know, unfortunately, we've got people who are dumb enough to join the military because they're programmed into believing it. They're fighting for the state and they're defending their country when they're not. I mean, I've said never let anybody you know, any member of your family, join the military. You know, look at Henry Kissinger. He said military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. That's a direct quote from Henry Kissinger. That's what he said. That's what they think of you. Look at the majority of homeless people in the United States are ex-vets, you know, and yet you go to the airports in the United States, we thank our veterans, we thank our military personnel, and you get free privileges and you get this and you get to board the plane first and all this sort of stuff. They make you feel like you're great. Then you come back from the war after murdering people that you've never met, you've got no problem with at all. You know, you don't know them on a personal level, but the government told you you need to go and kill these guys. You come back and they go into this, you know, PSD, you know, and they get into all sorts of depression and all sorts of stuff because of what they've done. And the government just throws them away, discards them. They hardly get any benefits or anything like that. You know, so, you know, they're just completely discarded. I mean, that's the problem. But people are scared of death. People think, you know, if I don't do what I'm told, something bad will happen to me. I don't freaking care. You know, I don't care what you do to me. There's nothing you can do to me which is going to let me give you my soul. I came here to die. I'm going to die. That's a given. You know, there's no way to avoid that. I'm not going to give away little pieces of my soul all through my life and be trained to walk between the lines and never experience the beauty and wonder of myself for anybody. You know, I've just never participated in the system. I left school, like I got kicked out of four schools in my first 3 years of high school. I became a musician, lived on the outside of society, got paid cash in hand for all my stuff. I've never participated in their system. And I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. There's nothing they can do to me. They might be able to hurt this vessel, but okay, I came here to die anyway. If I die a little bit early because of your hands, well, that's on you, not on me. My soul's intact. And I think we come here to grow our soul, to see who's worthy. People who spend their life in fear of death, fear of stepping outside of the lines because someone might do something to them. Like I say, you came here to die. That's a given, okay? So deal with it. It's going to happen. What is your path to that point going to be? And what is it going to be in that final moment when you leave this vessel and you go back to source, back to God, whatever? Are you going to be able to reflect on your life and say, "Hey, I did it right. I stood my ground. I did what was righteous and wholesome. I didn't capitulate with wrong behavior." If we stop capitulating with wrong behavior, like I said, don't abide by anything which causes you to step outside your moral compass. What would you do in the military and go and kill people that you've never met? And if it really comes to that, and they put the military on the streets in the United States, I just wonder, with the patriotism that's instilled within people of the United States, will the military really pull their weapons and pull their guns on the people of the United States? Will they do that? Well, of course, they did back in 1967 in San Francisco and the Watts riots and all that sort of stuff, although that was probably the National Guard and not the military. But would soldiers actually do that? And there's a lot of guns in the United States. There could be a lot of pushback. So that's why you have to destroy it from within, break down the food chain, break down everything that they've done, seal the borders, break down the food chain, get rid of the workforce. And the main thing that's going to happen when they kick all the Mexicans out is it's going to stop a lot of food trucks running, and it's going to stop a lot of that sort of stuff happening. So, they kind of push the United States into a state of sheer desperation where they're going, "Somebody please fix all this damage that Obama and Biden did." And then Trump may come along and do that. But, I mean, this whole thing, you can blame the governments, you can blame the Jews, you can blame anybody you want, but ultimately it's us. We're the ones who've complied with all of this. We're the ones that have refused to think for ourselves. And out of all the people in the United States, all the incredible people and intelligent people in the United States, you're telling me the best you've got is Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. This is the best we've got. This is the best we can do. It's like George Carlin once said, "The politicians suck, but where do the politicians come from? They come from the people of the United States, ordinary, everyday people." So maybe it isn't the politicians that suck. Maybe it's the people who suck because they're not prepared to stand up and do the right thing. There's so many people that would do the right thing, but they don't ever run for office. They don't want to participate in it because they know what it smells like, So, it's come down to us. It's our failure to take responsibility for ourselves, our failure to really even know ourselves and realize what this life's all about. It isn't about collecting stuff and the one with the most wins, all the shit that they teach us. It isn't about respecting authority. Sure, I will respect authority if that authority shows me it's worthy of respect. But this government, there's nothing they've done that's worthy of respect. They just impoverish the people. They milk the world dry, milk their populations dry, pay themselves huge fat paychecks. Limit free speech, limit free thought, limit everything. What's it all about? It's got to the point where people have to wake up to the fact that we hold all the power. We hold all the power. No is an incredibly powerful word. And even if you want to get into their whole legal system, they'll hurt me, they'll take me to court. Well, their legal system is based on the Bible. It's all canon law. They make you swear on the Bible when you go to court. It says on page 2 of the Bible, God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I'm by God's law. If you're claiming that there is any connection that exists between myself and God, then you're in breach of this Bible. You can't just use parts of it. If you're going to base your legal system on it, you can't use parts of it. You've got to use the whole thing. And I believe there is no authority that exists between for this experience. If you're claiming you have a higher authority than the God that gave me this vessel, well, show me. Show me proof of claim. Show me a contract bearing the wet ink signature of God, which gave you control over this vessel. And if you can't, then get out of my house and get away from me. And if you want to kill me for saying that, well, that's on you, not me, because I came here to die anyway. If you're going to make it happen early, well, okay, that's the way it goes. But I'm not taking a backward step.
I'm right there with you. And I think that's a beautiful way to put it and empower people, because once we do take our power back on an internal level, there's nothing in the external that can actually strip away our freedom, that can actually strip away our sovereignty or our soul, right? You're right. I think a lot of people are afraid of selling their soul, but don't realize they do it every single time they make a choice that is going against their own moral compass, or they're acquiescing to the powers that be.
It's because people, I mean, they're trapped into the whole thing through the birth certificate, you get in the name game and all the word magic that they keep people enthralled with, you know. Like even the whole name game and the birth certificate, you know, like your name, you know, Peter whatever, you know, Peter Jones. You know, are you Peter Jones? Yes, I am. Well, no, you're not. Peter Jones is a sound you make with your mouth, or it's something that you write on paper. It's a calling that you have. But you're not the name, you know. Like I am not Max Egan. It's not possible for me to be Max Egan because I'm living flesh. I'm not a writing on a piece of paper. I'm not a sound that you make with your mouth. You know, people don't understand how all this works. As soon as you say yes, I am that. That is me. That is my name. It's not your name. It's the name the government has for you. It's a calling. You know, even claiming it's yours is fraud under their legal system. So you know, you just don't get involved in the whole thing. You know, when legal questionings are happening, it's a game of hot potato, basically. They're asking you a question, you're going, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, whereby I will respond with another question, you know, and then it's back in their court. And if they can't show me that they have that authority over me, over the power of God, then it's over from that point because you base your legal system on this Bible, on canon law. So show me how it works. I mean, I'm just speaking the language here. I'm just attaching English meanings to your words. You know, people say like, you know, where do you live? I go, well, I live. What is this a trick question? I mean, I'm standing here talking to you right now. I live here. I live in this vessel, and this vessel is standing here talking to you. Now, what's your address? Well, I don't have an address. If I had an address, I'd be stationary like a tree. I'm mobile, you know. So, you know, they don't understand the language. They don't understand the language that they're talking. You know, where do you live? I mean, what sort of a question is that? Where do you live? You know, oh, I live at number 10 Downing Street. Okay, well, you're not there now, so that means you're here. That means you must be dead. So therefore, you're in my jurisdiction. This is how it all works, you know, the whole name game, the birth certificate, the registration, all of this sort of stuff. So that's why you shouldn't even get involved in that system if you can help it, you know. And if you do get involved in it, well, realize it's a game of hot potato and you've got to ask the right questions. They don't have any authority over you until you assume to give them that authority because it's all assumption, you know. All their legal system is based on assumption. They'll say this, you know, are you Peter Jones, and you know, rah, rah, rah. They'll just assume that you are. They'll assume you're guilty. They'll assume you are this person that they've created. You know, they'll assume all sorts of stuff because you never contradict it. You know, you go in there and you're scared. You know, they'll spell your name in all capitals and say Peter Jones, Jones Peter. Well, hang on, it's backwards and it's in all capital letters. There's no word in English that's spelt in all capital letters. This is dog Latin. That's not even my name. You know, but you're going, you say, I'm that. Yeah, I'm Peter Jones. And I'm so freaking stupid, and I'm so in control, you know, lacking in control of my own faculties, that I'm going to get this guy to speak for me because I'm incompetent, you know. So no, I'll go into a court and I'll speak for myself if I ever have to go there. And I'll say, "Are you going to represent yourself?" No, I don't represent myself. I am myself. What are you expecting? I'm going to put up a cardboard cutout and pretend I'm me? Where are we going with this? You know, people don't understand the language. They don't understand the language that they're speaking. You know, that's the way English is. It's a double meaning to everything. And most people have no idea what they're even saying, you know?
Right. And I would argue they don't even understand what they're thinking at that level, right? Because it's very much when you start looking into the etymology of words, for example, and you start really
Oh,
the
it's incredible, isn't it? Like, understand, you know, stand under what I say. Do you understand? Father cops always say, do you understand, you know? A lovely one I like to point out with them is have a nice day. Look at the etymology of the word nice. It comes from the French naissir, which means ignorant, stupid, uninformed. Have an ignorant, stupid, and uninformed day. Just don't rock the boat. Be a nice person, you know? They don't understand the words. They don't comprehend what they're actually saying, you know?
Right, and those words are spells, and they cast the projection onto reality, which in turn creates reality, and then it creates the confining bubble that we find ourselves in and the programmed society. It's so I think if we can take conscious control over our thoughts, our words, which in turn creates the actions, and that creates a level of empowerment and individuality that can't be confined to the notions of the system, like you just so eloquently described.
It's a self-responsibility. I mean, it's all about your path, your journey through this realm. I mean, that's the way. I mean, I even only really do what I do because I care about people and I can see a better way. I can see the system that's coming. It will eat my son up alive. I mean, it will eat so many people alive. And there's so many beautiful souls out there and beautiful people out there who have so much potential if they could just rediscover themselves. And that's why I do what I do. But ultimately, if the human race destroys itself, I don't care. It's not on my back. I mean, I offered a better solution. And ultimately, it's all about my own personal path through this realm anyway. I don't even need to do any of this stuff. People are on their own path. Why should they even listen to me? But I just care about people. I'm a very empathetic person and I care about people. And I can see the potential we have for an incredible world here. And even with all the negative stuff that's happening, I see this as a time of huge opportunity. I mean, in Chinese, the word crisis and opportunity are interchangeable. It's the same word, and the more the system is being laid bare, the more the destruction in Palestine, the more of the genocide, the more Trump exposes himself as being a fraud. I mean, all this sort of stuff, maybe this will cause the penny to drop and people simply stand up and say, well, actually, no. I don't actually have to do any of this because you guys, Trump and Musk, and you're just people, just like me. What makes me believe that you have any authority over me or you're any better than me? What, because you wear a more expensive suit and you've got a solid gold toilet in your house? And what does that even show you? What you think about people and what you think about wealth to even create a solid gold toilet? What sort of a mind comes up with that? Couldn't you have used that gold and the amount of gold in a toilet? I mean, you could probably go and cancel the national debt of freaking Venezuela with that toilet, Well, why haven't you done that if you actually care about people, I mean, why people believe that these people are better than them and they have a new authority over them? That's the root cause of the whole problem. They're just people, just like you.
Definitely. And when we bring them to that level, it humanizes the whole thing in a sense, which I think dehumanization is sort of the central one of the central tenets of why we're in this mess to begin with. Dehumanize your neighbors, dehumanize your politicians, dehumanize the kids over in Gaza, and from there, people are controllable when they lose that human touch and c connection to the fact that we all have a soul and we're all on our own individual journeys. And from, if we can recognize the God within one another, well, then we're going to create a world that's based on that. Really, the macro just reflects the micro state of individual awareness. And so what's taking place is no surprise because that's where most people are at individually. So we're going to create a system that mirrors that in a lot of
It's like
ways.
Colin said, garbage in, garbage out. That's the way it goes, But ultimately, yeah, it's us. We're the ones who've tolerated all of this, because we're scared to believe in ourselves. We're trained to be scared to believe in ourselves. What would happen if I think outside the box? My neighbors might think ill of me or whatever, Fuck your neighbors. It doesn't matter what they think, This is your path through this realm, and that's what's important.
Absolutely. Well, that feels like a beautiful empowering endpoint for the conversation because leaving people with that type of resonance and that type of message, I think, can inspire some real change. So, Max, do you have anywhere you'd send the listeners to further interact with your work, or if you got any projects coming out you want to share about, or what's
Well, I've
sort
got
of on your
lots of
plate?
projects happening, but you can go to thecrowhouse.com and you'll find it's an old HTML website. It doesn't look good on your cell phone. You can thank me later. You'll find everything there. You'll find most of my stuff on BitChute. I've got a Telegram channel. I mean, you'll find all the links to it on the crowhouse.com. If you're really keen on catching up with what I do, you can sign up to the newsletter on the website, and you won't get massive amounts of spam. The only time I send out email is when I post a new video or I have something important to say, which is like you won't get spam. Like people open up fundraisers with my name. People open up buy me a coffee accounts and all sorts of stuff. And it's not me. They're just stealing money. You might get a newsletter when to let you know that there's a scam happening, and that's it. Or you will get newsletters when I post interviews or videos, and that's it. But if you really want to keep track of what I'm doing and where I'm going, that's it. Yeah, and of course you've got an Acapulco come out here in Mexico in February. If you want to catch up, come down to an Acapulco. Got Libra Pulco, I believe, happening in Europe again next year in September, which was really good. The first Libra Pulco last year. And that's about it. Yeah, I'm just doing my regular thing and doing what I do. And yeah, so yeah, go to thecrowhouse.com. And thanks for having me on, brother. It's been a good chat.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed it. And I would recommend all the listeners go to your website because it's been an invaluable tool for me too. Even just you have a list of like recommended documentaries, recommended books, like just sort of things that you resonate with and are truthful.
Some of the news archives and things go back to 2008. There's over 2,000 pages on the Crow House when you really start getting into it and start looking through the website. It is a wealth of information, a lot of portals. You'll find a lot of the old article links are probably closed down now, but I've left the links there so you can see the name of the article and you click on it and you get a 404. Shows you just how much they're censoring information away from the internet as well. But if you get that and you click on the article archives, which actually, as I said, go back to 2008, and you find a link doesn't work, just get the title that I've used and search for that title, and you might find the article somewhere else. But yeah, thanks for having me on,
Yeah.
and we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely. I would love to. I feel this is an exploration that can continue infinitely in a lot of ways because there's so much to unpack. But thanks for again coming on, Max. I really enjoyed it. And once I get this out to you, it'll be within the next week or so. I'm pretty fast with the turnaround. I'll shoot it over
Yeah,
to
send
you.
me a link and I'll share it for you, and I'll link back to your website or channel, whatever it is.
Yeah, for sure. I'll send it on over and we'll get the word out there. Awesome,
All
brother.
right, brother. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Special thank you to Max for coming on the Fifth Dimension. This is a really empowering and inspiring conversation, especially the bit at the end here, where we're encouraged to take our own power back. And that really is the only solution to the deep, murky waters of chaos that we find ourselves in. So I would highly encourage you guys to go interact with Max's work, subscribe to his newsletter. And as I mentioned in the podcast, he has a great list of documentaries, books that are not just his, of different truth-seeking information. So, and I've learned a lot from engaging with some of his recommendations, and I would encourage you guys to do the same. But if you're a fan of the show, subscribe, whatever platform you are on, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Can head over to my Substack, mcdermott.substack.com. Subscribe there. It is free to subscribe. Be sure to book a one-on-one tarot reading with me if you are interested. We unpack in a hero's journey format and really look at what's going on inward. And it can be a really great gift for the holidays as well for those who are interested in tarot. Same with poetry books. The Final Judgment is now out. I got a couple other poetry books out there as well. So poetry can make for a beautiful holiday gift for your poetry-inspired friends and family. And special thank you to our official sponsor, Tranquil Desires, here in Chamberlain, South Dakota. And thank you to Patty for all she has done to support the show. It's going to wrap up this episode. I'll see you all next time. So long.